Heavenly Father, as we stop to look at your word now, please give us deeper insight into who you are and what you are doing in our lives and in our world. Please give us confidence and peace in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all find certain things about ourselves frustrating. For some of you, it might be a lack of physical strength or mobility. You just wish it wasn't so hard to get around and to do day-to-day things. For others, it might be that you suffer from chronic tiredness or pain. For some, it might be your eyesight or your social skills or your memory or your lack of coordination. I think in some way, all of us know the frustration of living in bodies that are imperfect. And this morning, as we're looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, I want you to see how Jesus gives hope for the frustrated. I want you to see how he came not only to deal with our sins, but also with our shortcomings. It's a very simple story we're looking at this morning. A man with leprosy is healed. And we might even wonder, why did Luke choose to include this one? Especially since in the previous chapter, Luke chapter 4, verse 40, it says, "The people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them." Surely this story has already kind of been covered in that verse. But I think Luke wants to draw attention to this particular healing because this one is like, it's like a signpost on a highway that runs right through the Bible. And I think that if we can look left and right, up and down this highway, that is, if we can look back and see the Old Testament background to what's going on here, and if we can look forward to what Jesus will do in his death and his resurrection and his return, then I think we'll see how it is that Jesus offers hope to the frustrated in the healing of this man. And the first thing I want you to understand is that Jesus is responding to a sickness which is not like all the others. Look with me at Luke chapter 5, verse 12. "While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy." Now today, if someone talks about leprosy, they're usually referring to something that's also known as Hansen's disease. It's a bacterial infection that affects the nerves and can lead to severe sores and skin rashes. Thankfully, it's a disease which can now be healed by modern antibiotics. But when the Bible speaks about leprosy, it's not quite as specific as the word we use today. I mean, when the Bible speaks about leprosy, it certainly includes Hansen's disease, but it could also refer to a number of other skin diseases, even like really severe eczema. Now, here's why, in the ministry of Jesus, skin diseases are not like the other sicknesses. It's because there are regulations in the book of Leviticus about skin diseases. We read from at the end of, or in the middle of Leviticus chapter 13, about how people with skin diseases had to live outside the camp. Now, a lot of people look at these rules and regulations in the book of Leviticus and scratch their heads a bit. A lot of people assume that maybe this is a bit like ancient health regulations, a bit like COVID lockdown. But, you know, as far as I understand it, and I'm certainly no doctor, but at least when it comes to Hansen's disease, yes, it can be transmitted between humans, but it isn't actually highly contagious. And then there's other things like eczema, which aren't contagious at all. I mean, there may be sort of a health result in some of these regulations, but I think that if you read the book of Leviticus carefully, you'll see that these rules are actually pointing to a deeper truth. They're saying something more theological. They're saying something about God's relationship to humans and to our world. And so, will you come back with me into this world of the book of Leviticus so that we can try and understand what's going on when Jesus heals a man with a skin disease? And please, please just stay with me for a few minutes, because it's a part of the Bible that you might not be so familiar with, but it's good for us to really understand what's going on. The book of Leviticus comes after God's people have been rescued from slavery in Egypt. They've gone to Mount Sinai to meet with God, and God has told them, "You, my people, are my special possession. Even though the whole earth belongs to me, you will be my holy nation, and I'm going to dwell right in the middle of your camp." He gave them like a symbol, a symbolic place of his dwelling, which was known as the tabernacle, later called the temple. It was a place full of visible symbols and rituals. Everything about it was designed to teach what it meant to be God's holy people with access to God's holy presence. And the idea of this place in the middle of the camp, this tabernacle, this temple, the idea is that it represented a little slice of heaven on earth. You could think of it a bit like an embassy. Well, I remember once going to the Egyptian embassy here in Australia. The Egyptian embassy operated according to the working hours in Egypt. It followed the public holidays of Egypt. The staff were from Egypt. You go there to interact with the Egyptian government. It was like a little slice of Egypt, but here in Australia. And in the same way, it was the job of the priests who worked in this temple to keep it running as an embassy of heaven. The idea was that in the middle of this world full of death and decay, in the middle of a world full of frailty and frustration, in the middle of all the sad things that are a result of humanity being disconnected from God, in the middle of all of the mess stood a place that was different, a little slice of glory. And the book of Leviticus is kind of a rule book, a code book for the priests on how to keep it that way. In the book of Leviticus, it says not only does this place have to be kept holy, but that the people who come and worship at the temple must be clean. Now, when I use the word clean, in our culture, we think about being clean in terms of personal hygiene. But in the book of Leviticus, clean is, it's in a symbolic sense, in a religious sense. To be clean means you're able to worship at the temple without bringing with you the imagery of death and decay and frailty and frustration. And so in this world of Leviticus, you could become unclean in lots of ways. For example, if you touched a dead body, you were considered unclean. You had to wash, you had to wait to the next day before you could go to the temple in order to just keep this separation between the broken world of death and God's holy place of life. And then, as we read in our first Bible reading, the other thing that would make you unclean was having a skin disease. That's interesting. In Leviticus, if you had a sore throat, if you had a migraine, if you had diabetes, no problem. That didn't stop you being clean. But skin disease was singled out. Why? Because it's a visible thing. It's part of the visible symbolism of God's temple. A person with a skin disease was, in a sense, singled out because they visibly represented all the imperfections of fallen humans in a fallen world. People with skin diseases were not allowed to worship at the temple. In fact, to keep this separation between death and life, they had to live outside the camp. And so when we get to this story about Jesus, this man with leprosy, not only has he got a religious disadvantage, but also socially, he's just cut off from everyone else. Now you might think, wow, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? Because it's not as if the person with leprosy was a worse sinner than the rest of everybody else. But then again, when we're thinking about reality, real life in our fallen world, sometimes reality is harsh. If you get cancer and you've got a weak immune system, it can be very isolating. If you have certain kinds of disabilities, it's very isolating. There was one dear Christian lady I once knew. Her son had died when he was a young man. Her husband had died just after he retired. One of her daughters was severely disabled for her whole life. And I remember once she said to me, "Andrew, I think I was just born to weep." Like reality, the real world, when you look around, is that some people face a lot of hardship in this life. And so in the symbols of the temple and the tabernacle and the Old Testament worship, and let me just say that those symbols were only ever intended to be a temporary system. It was only ever in place in between Moses and Christ. So today, we Christians, we don't exclude people with skin diseases. We don't have, if you catch leprosy, you can still come to church. But in that system, for that time, the leper outside the camp was like a visible reminder, a visible symbol of the harsh realities of life in this fallen world. So let's get going in our story in Luke. Because this man, it says he is covered in leprosy. It's not like he just has a little rash and it might get better soon. No, he is covered in leprosy. There doesn't seem much hope for him. And so in desperation, what does he do? He throws himself at Jesus' feet and he says, "Lord, if you are willing," and it's very interesting the word he uses. He doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me well." He doesn't say, "If you're willing, you can heal me." What does he say? He says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." So he's using that language from the book of Leviticus. He's saying it's not just that he wants his itchy rash to go away. He wants to be clean. He wants to stop being an outcast. He wants to be free from this limitation that's keeping him away from the place of worship, that's keeping him away from the community. Can you see how, in a sense, all of our limitations and frustrations are just turned up to volume 10 in this man with leprosy? And so verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and, wow, think about that. What did he do? He reached out his hand and touched the man. You know, Jesus didn't have to touch him. Jesus is able to heal just with a word. In fact, Jesus did heal with a word. Jesus said, "Be clean." But first, Jesus wants the man to feel his touch. This man who has been living as an untouchable, Jesus touches him. Can you imagine how the man must have felt to feel Jesus' touch? Valued, recognized, welcomed, accepted. And what happens to the man? It's kind of the opposite of how a lot of people thought about being clean or unclean. See, in the popular way of thinking, being unclean was contagious. Like the Pharisees had sort of a religious OCD that they thought if they didn't wash their hands and their cups, it wasn't germs they were worried about. No, that they were worried that somehow this uncleanness would get into them and get in the way of their relationship with God. And it's not exactly how it works in the book of Leviticus, but I get how they could think that way. Like just in everyday life. If I've got a clean, buttered piece of toast and I drop it, well, you know it's always going to land butter side down. And what's going to happen? The clean toast will now be unclean. But what happens here? With the touch and the word of Jesus, it's like there's a contagious cleansing. It's like instead of the unclean coming in and affecting the one who is clean, no, instead of that, it's like the glory of the temple has burst out and taken over this man's body. And that's because Jesus himself is the true embassy of heaven. He's the true slice of heaven on earth. And this little story of him cleansing the leper is like a signpost to show where Jesus' mission is going. See, one more bit of Old Testament background. Throughout the Old Testament, there was a hope, a growing hope, a hope that you see most clearly in the writings of the prophets, that one day the glory of God, the glory of God's temple, wouldn't just be within those four walls, but that it would burst out and fill the earth. So that on that day that everyone was looking forward to, there would be not just a tiny little slice of heaven on earth, but a whole world made new. Isaiah talks about a day when it's like the desert will be full of flowers and the weak will be made strong, and instead of unclean people, there will be redeemed people. He says sorrow and sighing will flee away. And he summarizes it like this: the past troubles will be forgotten. See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. It's because this is a signpost pointing in that direction. That's why Jesus wants this man to go and show himself to the priests, as a testimony, as a witness, so that the priests in the temple, the priests who are reading this book of Leviticus, that the priests who know all this Old Testament stuff, so that they can hear that, hang on a minute, it's Jesus who is this agent of cleansing, who is turning the uncleanness of leprosy into the wholeness that this man is now experiencing. Through Jesus, the glory of heaven is breaking out and transforming life on earth. Even though I'm not sure that the man himself fully got it, because instead of going and telling the priests, he just goes and tells, well, everyone. Verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more. And if you compare this with like the same stories in the Gospel of Mark, and it's clear that it's this man, the leper, who's going and spreading the news to everyone. Like, he's not really one for following instructions. Because back at where we started in verse 12, where was he? He was in one of the towns. I don't think he was supposed to be in the town. But you know what? Jesus doesn't worry about that. Jesus doesn't get caught up with, hang on a minute, why are you in the town? There's a man in front of him who is desperate to be clean. And that's what Jesus focuses on. You know, sometimes when you're helping people from difficult backgrounds, they're not always great at following all the rules. And sometimes you just got to remember what's important here, because that's what Jesus does. And even though this sort of turns into, it's like this big healing circus and everyone wants to get a piece of this healing, Jesus stays focused on his ultimate mission. He continues healing, but he also makes sure he takes time out to withdraw to lonely places and to pray. Because ultimately, how is Jesus going to turn this world of frustration into a world of glory? Jesus' mission is not actually that he's going to go around and touch every person on earth with leprosy. Actually, what he's going to do is he's going to deal with the core of this problem in his death and his resurrection. In his death, he's going to take on himself. He's going to come into contact with the ultimate limitation of humanity. Death. Jesus will, he comes and touches this dying world in a sense that he stops breathing. But when Jesus comes alive, his body is made glorious, never to die again, so that he himself will be the beginning of this new creation. And so Jesus' promise is that if you come to him, if you come to him and say, you can make me clean, he will. For now, for today, you may or may not be healed of your physical limitations. But for now, for today, you will be made clean to approach the throne of God. Now, just as this man was kept at a distance, now he's able to come close. Jesus says to you, whatever limitations you have, whatever physical limitations, intellectual limitations, social limitations, if you've come to Jesus, God says you are clean and you are able to draw near to me. And that same welcome and acceptance that the man experienced through Jesus' touch is the welcome and acceptance that we have with God today. I mean, in a sense, we show this in our baptism. Baptism is the symbol of joining with Christ. It's also a symbol of being washed clean. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you also become a member of a community which is called to show his compassion on everyone who's weak and suffering. I found this really interesting sermon that was preached by a Christian bishop in the 4th century, like 350-something AD, by a guy called Gregory of Nazianzus. And there must have been quite a few people around with leprosy, because in this sermon, he encourages his congregation to make sure that lepers are welcome. He says, "Come close to them. Don't despise your brother fleeing as from something terrible, something fearful. He is your own member." And so we may not have many people in Hurstville with leprosy, but we can share this heart of Jesus toward the frail, the housebound, those who are unwell, those who are disabled. Because remember, in Luke's gospel, where does this come? This comes just after Jesus has called disciples. The disciples are following along. And one of the first things Jesus does is he shows them how to relate to people who are outcasts. And so what do we have here? Jesus gives us spiritual access to God today. Jesus gives us a loving community. But that's not all, because on this great story that the Bible is unfolding for us, our greatest hope is that there is even more to come. Now, let me just finish by pointing you down this highway toward the return of Christ. Here are some verses from Romans chapter 8. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." It's looking forward. It's saying ahead there is glory. "For the creation was subjected to frustration." That's what we're experiencing in our lives today. "But in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God." It's saying your greatest hope is that when Jesus returns, you will be given a new body just like his glorious body, without crying or pain or death. Today's passage is a signpost saying there will be no leprosy in the new creation. But not only we ourselves, but it's saying we will be with Jesus in a world that is cleansed from the frailty and the frustration that we experience in the world today. That means if you are frustrated with your physical condition, you can live in hope. If you feel cut off or held back, you have a hope in Jesus that this is not going to be your existence forever. Now, this life can be hard. For some of you, it's really hard, but it's not forever. And so take heart. If you come to Jesus, if you've received his cleansing, then you are heading towards a future where the hardships of this frustrating world will be swallowed up by the glory and the victory of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a Savior we have. He has dealt with our spiritual distance from you. And through his death and his resurrection, he is leading us towards this great hope of new bodies and a new creation. Please enable us to live in hope. Please enable us to be patient as we face our own limitations. Please enable us to have compassion to those around us who are struggling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.